The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Having fun on this program. And guess what? You got like an hour almost of more fun. It is back. We are back with more Bucket Strategy Investing. Brain Trust is here again, standing by to help you out. Professor Rick Plum here with me, Johnny Dean, as always, from Lucia Capital Group for another hour. Got more money strategies headed your way, so you can add to the mix. You get your question into us right now. Best way to do that is to give us a call, because we're going to take calls first. 877-PLANNER, our number. 877-752-6637. Spells out Planner. We have just a couple of lines open for you right now. WealthEd.com, that's our website. So if you have any questions or comments you'd like to put out in written form, you just go to the link where it says find your answer, and you can easily take it from there. We make it very easy for you. WealthEd, our website, your resource for many, if not most of the topics that we discuss on this particular program. So once again, our number in studio, 877-PLANNER. We do talk strategy on this show. We've been doing that all day. We talk bucket strategy investing. If you don't have a strategy, your retirement funds could be at risk, all right? It's like not having a roadmap to navigate you through whatever, you know, landmines or whatever. I don't know. Call Professor Plum or anyone at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. That's their off-air number. Have them look at what you have, and they'll design a bucket strategy that is specifically tailored to meet your needs. Ask yourself the question, are your retirement goals being met? If not, or if you're unsure about anything that's in your plan, anything that you have, you give us a call right here. Brain Trust will tell you if you're on the right track. Again, off the air, it's 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Going to take your calls first, and we have a few more things left over from a previous topic having to do with the accumulation and distribution phases of retirement. There's a new designation for this even. We'll talk about that from the financial planning, whatever. What is it? The financial planning?
The American College.
There you go. The American College. Okay. Great team. 877-PLANNER, our number. Let's move along to Cal in a wonderful place, Stuart, Florida. Hi, Cal.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. I have a question. I get a lot of newsletters on my computer regarding legislation changing the law on H.R. 1314,
right,
which is in regard to Social Security, and I'm told it's going to hurt senior citizens very much.
Actually, it's going to hurt younger people more.
Pardon?
It'll hurt younger people more than it hurts current senior citizens.
Well, do you understand the law? I don't even understand it.
Oh, yeah. How old are you, Cal?
79.
It has no impact on you in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that's good to hear, because every newsletter says, send us $49 and we'll tell you what you can do to save your Social Security.
What are they, Cal, can I ask you what they're telling you before Professor Plum tells you what's going on here? What are they saying?
Well, they're saying the government is changing that law that was presented by President Reagan.
That is true. It wasn't Reagan, though.
They keep on saying President Reagan. And they don't say exactly what changes are being made. You have to pay that newsletter.
Okay. No. I will tell you the changes that are made. Now, there have been some changes to Medicaid and Medi-Cal, but there's really nothing you can do about it. It's just a matter of reimbursement. And it's going to hurt doctors more than it hurts the people on Medicare. Where they've changed the benefits. In the past, we've had the ability for somebody who reached their full retirement age but wanted to let their benefit grow until age 70, that individual could have filed for a benefit and suspended it and still allowed a spouse to pull a benefit from their work record, a child to pull a benefit from their work record, somebody else to pull a benefit from their work record. As of May 1st of this year, that's gone. If you do not file and suspend, which means if you're not full retirement age by the end of April this year and apply and suspend for your benefit, those benefits of allowing somebody else to draw from it are gone. That doesn't affect you. The other thing is what's known as the restricted application, where I could, at full retirement age, choose to take only a spousal retirement benefit, even if it was lower than my own, without applying for my own first, letting my own benefit grow until age 70. For anybody who was not 62 by the end of 2015, they no longer have that option. Again, it doesn't affect you. So for people who are either under 62 right now or who were planning on doing the file and suspend but won't be at an appropriate age by May 1st, those are the people that are going to be affected by the new laws. Anybody who's already on Social Security, both spouses are on Social Security, doesn't affect them in any way, shape, or form. They're not taking anything away. I've heard and I've seen the emails. The government just stole $62,000 from you. No, it didn't. For some people, it took away the ability for them to enhance their benefit by up to $62,000 if they live long enough. But for somebody already on Social Security, and I hate the idea that they're scaring you on this, it doesn't affect you. I'm pleased to announce that you are not affected by that law.
Well, I knew I would get a correct answer from you because I listen to your show all the time, and
thank
it's
you.
Great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Cal. We appreciate the call. We should talk about this more, I guess, although it's hard for us to
gauge.
The
emails are out there. The scare tactics are out there.
Well, okay, now, I think here's why. You mentioned $60,000. The file and suspend strategy, along with the restricted application, when you couple them together, the way it used to be, if you had the top Social Security benefit, you could, in essence, have received what amounted to about a $60,000 $60,000 of extra income doing that strategy, and then you can't do that anymore.
Yeah, somebody right now who is 66, where they believe that both of them, or somebody 66, who wants to defer taking their benefit until age 70, if they do it today, if they file and suspend today, their spouse, same age, let's assume the spouse has no Social Security benefit, could be receiving $1,300 a month or so, give or take, for the next 4 years, even though the worker is not receiving their benefit. That extra money accounts to about $62,000. If you can't do that, that same person who's not 66 right now, who turns 66 in May or later, their spouse won't be able to take a benefit from their work record until that worker actually gets to age 70 and actually applies for their benefit. So that person who was born too late just gave up the ability for their spouse to get $62,000 in that example. Now, it's not exaggerated necessarily, but you do have to be at the higher end of the wage scale to be able to pull this off.
Yeah.
And it still requires longevity. So I had planned on doing the file and suspend benefit when I got out to 67, and I'm not going to be able to do it. So my wife is not going to be able to get a benefit from my work record until I'm 70 when I turn my, hopefully they still enhance it at that point, enhanced age 70 benefit on.
Well, unless you took your benefit at age 67 or whatever.
Right, or at any time before that.
Yeah, she would not be able to get a benefit from you without you having applied. And once you've applied, you're getting your benefit.
And I will be able to suspend my benefit. They haven't taken my ability to suspend my benefit away. What they did was they took the ability of somebody else to draw from my work record if I have suspended my benefit. So when I suspend my benefit, if I do not suspend it by May 1st, not only do I not receive a benefit, but anybody else receiving a benefit from my work record, they're kaput too.
So, and it is a little complicated if you don't follow it. Here's who it does not affect, Professor Plum. Let's say, here's who this new law does not affect. Anyone who is currently, well, okay, we got two ages here.
Uh-huh.
You do it.
Well, we've got the file and suspend. If you have already filed and suspended your benefit, or if you will file and suspend your benefit before May 1st.
Which means you're already over.
Which means you have to be full retirement age to voluntarily suspend it. It doesn't affect you. But now, if you are over full retirement age, but don't suspend until, it's all about the suspension. You have to suspend it before May 1st. It starts with an M. If I am full retirement age and I suspend after May, nobody gets the benefit of my work record while I'm suspended. But if I suspend by May 1st, I have all rights, rules, and privileges of the old rules, the old laws. That's the file and suspend side. Now, on the restricted application side, we were never allowed to do a restricted application until we got to full retirement age anyway. So what they're saying now is that if you are born at the right time, meaning if you were born if you were 62 before the end of 2015, so basically born in 1953 or earlier, when you do get to full retirement age, you still have the option of doing a restricted application.
And the restricted application is where you can apply only for the spousal benefit and not touch yours, allow yours to continue to grow.
You get to choose to take one versus the other. The way it is now for anybody under, the way it has always been for anybody under full retirement age, and the way it will be for anybody who was not 62 by the end of 2015 is when you apply, you are applying for every benefit you're eligible for. You get the higher one no matter what. You can't choose which one to take.
That's right. You're going to take yours first. And if the spousal is higher than yours, then
you can get that too. But if yours is higher.
Exactly. The whole point was to not allow your benefit to continue to grow to age 70, because then you're going to have too much money, more than they intended. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing, coming right back. Taking your calls, Friday Riff Day. This is Plum playing. He can air guitar this one pretty well, couldn't you?
Drum.
Oh, drum? You don't ever air guitar? You're more of
a drummer. Drummer.
Okay. Well, either way, sounds just the same.
Yeah.
877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We got a little bit of room on the phones, 877-752-6637. I'll take a couple more calls. We'll remind you in a little while where the Brain Trust is going to be. You can meet the Brain Trust in person and get your retirement questions answered. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a little bit. But let's get back to the phone lines. Phoenix, Arizona, Rick is on the line. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I've been getting these emails. They come in different forms, but it says you can add $60,000 to your retirement program, say Social Security, and you got 3 months to file the papers. You guys know anything about that?
Oh, yeah. How old are you, Rick?
60.
You could file every paper until you're blue in the moon. You won't get the $60,000 they're talking about. You also, they forget to tell you a couple other things. First off, you have to be 66 before the end of April to do this. It all stems from, and we were talking about this with Cal the last hour, last segment, from a change in the Social Security claiming strategies, some new rules that went into effect last November where they took away some of our popular claiming strategies that we used to use to hopefully enhance our benefits over time. And one of them was the file and suspend option. They've taken that away for anybody who cannot voluntarily suspend their benefits by April of this year. So no matter what paper, you can't file and suspend today. You're not old enough to get any benefit, so therefore you can't suspend your benefit that you're not entitled to in the first place.
Yes, anybody who's under 62 can't do it anyway.
Well, anybody who's under 66 by the end of April can't do this.
Right.
So this is a way for them to get your money and basically tell you nothing.
Okay, well, you just saved me $50.
Yeah, so you can just send my 10%. No, I'm kidding. I mean,
yeah, we were just mentioning this, and I don't know, maybe you heard it, Rick. I don't know if you did or not. As we were saying, these newsletters and these emails are coming out, and they're saying, if you buy this newsletter, we're going to tell you how you can get, and you said $60,000, Rick, how you can get $60,000 worth of Social Security. And, of course, what they don't tell you is that there's such a small subset of people that would be able to do that. It's a come-on is what it is.
First, you would have to be 66 by the end of April. Second, you have to want to defer taking your benefit until age 70. Third, you have to have a spouse that's eligible to take a benefit from you. And to get the $60,000+, your benefit has to be at the $2,500, $2,600 level or more to make it work.
As in the top levels of Social Security.
So if you're 66, if you're going to wait till 70, if your spouse can take a benefit from you, and you're at the $2,500 or more level, now we can add and file the papers and make it work for you. If none of those, if any one of those doesn't fit you, you ain't getting the $60,000 no matter how many newsletters you buy.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay. Rick, thank you for the call.
Thanks
I'm glad
for listening.
You called. Yeah. And as I said, and you just said, to get $60,000 anyway, you have to be making a whole lot of money and essentially get the top benefit that Social Security allows at age 66.
Right, and I've seen the emails. I get the emails too. You know, add $60,000 to your portfolio. Or the ones I really hate are, they're stealing $60,000 from seniors right now. you're going to lose $60,000. So they're basically sending these emails out to people who are already receiving benefits. Mm-hmm. And their benefits may only be the moderate benefits, like what the average benefit is, $1,200, $1,300 a month. And they're saying, you're going to lose $60,000. The government just stole $60,000 from you. No, they didn't.
Since we have time, let's clear up where they get the $60,000 number from, Professor Plum.
The spousal retirement benefit is equal to 50% of the worker's full retirement benefit. Not their age 70 benefit, but the worker's full retirement. And right now, the best it's going to be is in the $2,600 to $2,700 range. And so they're saying, if the best benefit is, call it $2,600, the best spousal retirement benefit is $1,300. So if you were in that category I was talking about before,
where all those criteria
are met. You and your spouse are the same age. You both want to wait until age 70 to take your own benefits, or your spouse has no benefit of their own. You want to apply at age 66 so that your spouse can take a benefit from you, but you're going to suspend until age 70 so your benefit grows. Because if you apply and take your benefit, their spouse can have the benefit still under the new rules. So you're going to defer. Your spouse gets, call it $1,250 a month because your benefit was $2,500. $1,250 is easier to do the math.
I was going to say.
Okay. $1,250 puts it at $15,000 a year for 4 years, for 48 payments of $1,250 a month. $15,000 times four is $60,000. That's where they come up with the $60,000. It's about $62,400 if you want to go on $1,300.
All right, but anyway.
It's in that $60,000 range, but that's assuming that you want to defer taking your benefit. It's assuming your spouse is full retirement age. It's assuming your spouse is not taking their benefit already, where it's equal to or greater than the spousal retirement benefit, and they're not taking it away from somebody who's already receiving their benefits. If you are receiving your benefits, if you are 68, 70 years old, 75, 79, they are not taking $60,000 away from you. They're taking it away from me. Because I now do not have that option in the future.
Well, that's assuming that you had that, you know, that you
and that scenario is one I wanted to apply. Of course, with me, because my retirement age is 67, I would have only been able to get about $45,000.
You wouldn't have gotten the $60,000 anyway, because they took that away from you and me about 10, 12, 15
no,
years
we
ago.
Had the option. Well, the 60, but yeah, I still had a chance to get 45.
All right, 45,000. It used to be, I would see this at the end of, Motley Fool used to do this. They used to say, to get you to continue to click on their site, it used to say, the $60,000 Social Security bonus that everyone overlooks, click here. And that's what they were talking about. Now they've had to change it to, you could be missing out on some Social Security.
Yeah, but it has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It has to do with your age. And it's interesting, this scenario, this file and suspend and or the restricted application, we've only had these strategies for about 15 years. They came in with the law in 2000. And so it was interesting that the email that our previous caller, Cal, got said that it was something that President Reagan put in. I think he was in office prior to 2000. Maybe
Seemed
my
to me he left office in January of 1989.
It wasn't him. I mean, one of the last major Social Security overhauls was during the Reagan administration. But that was not what gave us these file and suspend and restricted application ideas.
No, those actually...
That's where we got taxation.
Well, part of the taxation...
That's where we got the initial aspect of taxation.
Bill Clinton took it further and decided to tax up to 85% of it
But it was a temporary tax. It was put in 1993 because we were having problems. And so we put a temporary tax on Social Security benefits up to potential 85%. Temporary until 99 and just before... He couldn't get reelected before he left office. Why not just make this permanent? We'll make this permanent.
It's like the high school senior who carves all over his desk the day before graduation just to leave his mark, you know, and say, to heck with you guys. I tell you, these politicians will drive you crazy.
But a Republican administration put in the first set of taxation.
Yes, they did.
And a Democratic administration put in the second set.
Because as everybody knows, you can always tax your way to prosperity. This is how it works, folks. Tax your way to prosperity, 100% tax. All right. We got to take a break. If you have questions on anything at all, doesn't have to be on Social Security. I've still got more to say on some of this accumulation, decumulation strategy. But whatever you have on your mind, you give us a call. You got questions, we have answers. The Brain Trust is standing by. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637.
Bucket Strategy Investing, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, coming right back. Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here to help you out every day with your money and money strategies, all of that. If you've got a money question, we got some lines open now. Finally, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637, trying to help you out. We've been talking for a good portion of today about Roth conversions and Roth conversion strategies. Should you do it? When is a good time to convert? What should you convert? That's another question too, Professor Plum. What should you convert if you're thinking about doing a Roth a conversion into a Roth IRA?
Well, normally people look at a Roth IRA as a longer-term investment, and it's money that they're trying to avoid distributions from required minimum distributions. And so normally they're going to be investing for growth, like our previous callers have talked about putting it as part of their bucket number three, the long-term growth bucket. But that's not always the case for everybody, because there's two ways to invest your Roth IRA, in my opinion. One is for growth, and that is as much for you in the long-term time horizon or successive generations or a surviving spouse down the line years from now. The other way is to help create income, high tax-free income. So one of the best investments for retirees in many respects is to have an investment in a high-income asset that creates high tax-free income, which opens up more room in their tax bracket to be able to do more conversions. So depending upon what's going on, where the income's coming from, and how you've set your life up, whether you invest it for growth, that's one way to do conversions, or you invest it for income so that you can have money to live off of while you continue to do Roth conversions. It can make a lot of sense either way. It all depends on you.
So you talked also about undoing it. There's a way to do it. And, you know, I think there are some people who, at the beginning of the year, decide I'm going to take all of my IRAs and I'm going to convert them all to Roth. And I don't have to pay the taxes yet because that won't happen until next year. And then somewhere during the course of the year, what do? They undo some of it?
Yeah, once they do their tax, it's a popular thing that was written about many times, mostly I think by journalists, not by people that actually do this because it's a giant pain. But in January, you convert 100% of your money to Roth. And then when you do your tax return the following April, you know, 16 months later, you decide how much you actually want to pay taxes on. And so you then undo the point. You basically tailor your tax return by undoing the conversion that you don't want to pay taxes on. And so you can, you know, make sure that it stays where you want it to stay. That's somebody who writes about it. That makes a lot of sense. Somebody who has to do the paperwork, it makes no sense. It's a pain in the keister. It's not that hard. It's just a lot of paperwork to do. So that is one way you can do it. But the key thing there is you can't undo one if you don't want to pay the taxes, or like what we're experiencing right now, the value has gone down. If you look at somebody who did a conversion maybe last June or July, as we were talking about, when the Dow Jones was over 18,000 and now it's at 15-something, you know, they're down, you know, a sizable amount. You know, and so they're saying, why do I want to pay taxes on money that I don't even have anymore? I mean, if I did a $10,000 conversion and it's only worth $8,500 now, I still pay tax on $10,000. I don't want to pay tax on $10,000. I want to undo it, put it back in the IRA so I don't have to pay the taxes on it. Now, I'm only putting the $8,500 back in the IRA, and so it's just like wiping it out, and so I don't have to pay tax on it. So a lot of people are looking right now when they're seeing their tax, or they will be looking in the next couple of weeks as they get their tax returns done, they're going to be looking to undo it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do have time. Conversions that were created in 2015 can be undone all the way until October 17th of this year. So you got some time to make up your mind.
So how do you do it? How do you undo it? It's a simple process, not so simple. What do you got to do?
Well, it's simple from what I'm going to tell you. You contact the brokerage firm that has your IRA, your Roth IRA, and say, I want to undo this. And have them do the paperwork.
Right.
Let them deal with the formulas for determining how much needs to be undone or how to undo it. It's not all that hard. It's just another step that some people don't like to deal with. You got to do more paperwork.
There you go.
And this is where people will get into, should I convert an IRA into an existing Roth IRA, or should I put it into its own Roth IRA? It's a lot easier to undo it if it's in its own IRA rather than commingled with other IRA monies, especially if you're undoing an asset that's way down. Maybe you have a speculative asset, and you watched it drop a significant amount, and you want to convert that over to a Roth IRA, and you're hoping that it will recover, and unfortunately, your hopes are not coming to fruition. And not only did it not recover, but it kept going on the same trajectory down, and it lost more money. But it's the only asset it's the only real asset that you have that lost money. Everything else kind of stayed the same. If you have it as a pool of other inside of one Roth IRA, you can't undo that specific security. You undo a percentage of the Roth IRA back to the traditional IRA. But if you put it into its own account, you can undo that one specific security. So when you're converting, you have to look at a lot of different areas of how you're going to do this. Typically, I like doing it especially if it's got a lot of volatility. I like putting in its own Roth IRA.
Yeah, just for ease.
Undo that account.
You can. You may not want to, but it at least gives you the option. It makes it easier to do so.
And just like when you convert, you don't have to convert 100% of your IRA. When you unconvert and you recharacterize it back to a traditional IRA, you don't have to undo the whole thing. You can tailor it to how much you want to pay in taxes. So if you want to do some of it, you undo some of it, or you can undo all of it. Now, the follow-on question to that is, okay, I watched my $10,000 investment turn into $8,500. I did it last July.
You did a conversion.
I did a conversion last July. I don't want to pay taxes on it, so I undo it today and put the $8,500 back into my traditional IRA. When can I re-convert that money? Well, you have to wait till the longer of next tax year or 30 days. Well, they did the conversion last year, so I'm already into my next tax year. So I got to go 30 days. So I have to wait 30 days to be able to reconvert that $8,500. And with my luck, it'll be $12,000 by the time I reconvert it. That's just the way
it works, right? It's the way timing works. Well, because if you paid taxes on $10,000, it's now worth $8,500.
I want to undo
really
it.
You'd really rather undo it and try to pay taxes on $8,500.
And then reconvert it at the $8,500. But, you know, I've got a 30-day window that I got to sweat it.
30 days or if you did it now, you got to wait a whole year.
No, if I converted it in January and I unconvert it now, I can't reconvert
right,
it
until next year
because the original conversion was in 16.
Exactly.
But if I converted it last year
in December
and undid it now, I've got a 30-day window.
Yeah. Okay. One last thing.
Simple.
On this.
This is real simple.
Are you following all this, folks? You're watching, listening out there, because this will be on the test. Actually, you know, Roth, some of it is complicated, but the Roth really can be a wonderful tool
for people. Oh, it's wonderful.
Because when you're planning on doing something tax-free, or you're planning on getting tax-free money, trying to figure out a way to grow assets inside of a Roth, because once you have whatever assets in a Roth, you typically want it to just grow and grow and grow.
Right.
Because
obviously,
you're never going to pay taxes.
The longer that you have it, the better it is.
Yes.
And that's where we run into seniors that say, well, I'm too old to do a Roth IRA. No. They say, well, it's better for young people. Well,
no.
Yeah, it is better for young people. But that doesn't mean it's not good for us older people.
Exactly.
Or even seasoned citizens that are in their 60s and even 70s.
Okay.
It just may not be as good as somebody who's in their 20s.
One more question we had on this, which has to do with converting your 401k to a Roth 401k.
Okay.
How do you know when it's better to go from your traditional 401k, for lack of a better word, to a Roth 401k?
Well, that's the same reasonings. It's the same ideas revolve around converting a 401k to a Roth 401k as a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, except for one difference. You better darn well be sure that you want to do this, because there is no undo button on a 401k conversion. Unlike that Roth IRA, that traditional to Roth IRA conversion we did, that we have, you know, if I do it right now, I've got, you know, a long time, 16 months, 17 months before I have to undo it. 401ks are one and done. There is no undo button on a 401k. So we're still going to look at, what's my tax bracket? What's going to cost me to do this? What's my tax bracket in retirement? What benefit am I going to get? Is there something that may be down or something of that nature? But I better darn well be sure, because I can't undo it. 401ks do not have the undo buttons.
Yeah, you have a Roth 401k. Yes, it's a Roth, but first and foremost, it's a 401k.
Yes.
And so all the 401k rules apply to those. If you inherit, say, a Roth 401k, I mean, are there required minimum distributions on that, or is it because you've got a Roth, because it's under the Roth umbrella, you don't?
If you inherit a Roth IRA, there's required minimum distributions. Inherited Roths, regardless of 401k or traditional or IRA size, Roths inherited have RMDs, unless you're a spouse.
Non-spouse, that's what I'm saying.
Current spouse inheritors have a different set of rules. But yes, 401ks do have required minimum distributions, even for the owner.
Yeah, so on the inherited side, the Roth part of it, really for required minimum distribution purposes, doesn't mean anything anymore. It's either an IRA you inherited or it's a 401k you inherited. The Roth is for tax purposes.
Tax purposes. Now, what you were getting at is the owner. I don't have to die.
No.
The owner of a 401k, a Roth 401k, has an RMD. That's why you quit and roll it to an IRA.
That's right. You see, 401k. It's first and foremost a 401k. All right? The Roth happens to be there for tax purposes. All right. Email. I got to get some emails. More phone calls. We got lines open. So you give us a call. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Room to talk to the Brain Trust trivia and whatever else we got coming up next. Bucket Strategy. Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're here till the top of the hour, which means we don't have a ton of time to get to you. But if you're on hold, we'll talk to everybody here before we get to the end of the hour. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, wealthed.com, our website if you want to email us. I will try to get to a couple of emails, just a lot of stuff to cover here before the top. I want to remind you, too, that if you're wondering where the Brain Trust is going to be, if they're going to be in an area near you, there's a good chance that they're going to be sometime between now and what? Summer, I'll say that. So check wealthed.com, our website, wealth, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. We have a couple of more workshops happening over the next few weeks, and you can find out where and when and get all the details right there at wealthed.com. Sign up, too. You get to meet Professor Plum. You get to meet Terry Keyes and any of the local advisors. Get your questions answered and learn all about retirement income strategies. That's what this series is about. Retirement income strategies. That's right. And learn all about it at wealthed.com. Sign up. It is all free. Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. We'll get everybody who's on hold. Let's get to Eric next in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Eric.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure. What's up?
Let's see. I took maybe your advice in advance by doing a conversion or conversion from a traditional to a Roth. I took one security that had dropped in value in the traditional and moved it over into the Roth. And first, I'd like to add a thought that you don't have to sell the security.
Oh, no. You're right.
You can actually just transfer it. It was quite easy to do. My question is, if I want to recharacterize, can I do just that one security?
With the Roth IRA that currently holds this security, does it have anything else in it?
Yes.
No. What they're going to do is they're going to look at the percent, the value of it, and how much was contributed. So what percentage did the conversion make up of the IRA? And if you want to undo it, they're going to undo that same percentage.
So I see.
So it goes off a percentage basis. And that's why I was talking about, in many respects, especially with the more speculative securities that have a lot of volatility, you may want to do the conversions into its own account so you can undo that one security a lot easier. So there is a formula. They're going to follow the formula. They're going to look at the percentage that the conversion was at the time of conversion. And if you want to undo it, they're going to undo that same percentage of the existing account back to the traditional IRA.
Okay, so I think your advice then would be to set up a separate account.
Uh-huh. For the converted money. When did you do the conversion? What year? 15 or 16?
16.
So you just recently did it?
Yes.
So if you were to undo the conversion now, you will not be able to reconvert it until 2017.
So that specific security or
this Roth IRA, this particular recharacterization. Yeah, so you would have to do it from a different account later on.
So I guess that's another reason to have more than one Roth so that you can actually separate those and have separate rules.
If you're going to play this kind of game where you're working on and unfortunately wanting to recharacterize and then reconvert, you're going to want to have, it becomes problematic to do this, but yeah, you want separate accounts.
I see. Well, thank you. That answers my question. I'm glad I called.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that too, Eric, because we sort of broached that subject a little bit, and thank you for the call.
Okay. Right, so if he had done the conversion in December of 2015, and he undoes it, he recharacterizes the conversion back to a traditional IRA today, he has 30 days before he can do another conversion of the same money. However, since he did the conversion in January of this year, if he undoes it now, we're in the same tax year, he would have to wait until the following tax year, 2017, to do a reconversion of these same assets.
Now, if you do different different conversions and different recharacterizations and all that stuff, you have whole separate, as you were suggesting that he does. It's only that one individual, or you can't do any recharacterization until the following
year? You can
do
different accounts.
Okay. So it's not saying...
So far. Now, we're only reading from what the IRS publications tell us.
Right.
And
so,
the IRS only follows the publications for so long, as we found out with the 60-day rollover
When they
rules.
Said, pay no attention to that what we
wrote. Don't care what was written in the publications for the past 30 years. We're changing it. So we're trying to count on and require and rely on IRS publications that may not be exact.
Well, that's why I asked, because on those rollovers, once again, we saw that where it was you can't do any IRA rollover
after the one.
You have, so.
Now they changed. What we're talking about is the IRA rollover rule, where we have the 60-day ability, and it used to be per account. You know, if I took it out of this account, I had 60 days, I could not do another rollover from that account within a year. And if I put money back into, I tainted the IRA at that point for an entire year. But if I had multiple accounts, then I could do 60-day rollovers from each of the different accounts, as long as I never used the same account twice, basically, in that 12-month period of time.
As we said, we figured you needed about seven of them.
Seven, at least, to do the 60 days. IRS came back and said, no. Even though we wrote this, even though we have it in black and white in our publications that you can do this, you can't do it anymore. So starting as of, I think it was beginning of 2015 or 14, they said, now it's one entire IRA world. I don't care about accounts anymore. Which actually brings it back into the realm that that's the way they look at RMDs. And so it made sense that they would do that with the rollovers. And so why they do it with accounts on the conversions, maybe, they've never told us they're going to look at this.
All right, but it's
the publications say we can do it that way.
Okay, so go on that for now until we hear differently, until somebody gets carted off to jail.
And nobody got burned.
I'm kidding.
Nobody got burned by the 60-day rollers, because they did say, okay, we're changing it as of the end of this year.
Okay, good. So if that's the case,
they didn't hurt anybody. They just said they're changing it going forward.
Okay, yeah. So if that's the case, did I ask you, or did we get a consensus? Is it better to do early in the year, late in the year on a Roth conversion? Is there any type of rule of whatever?
It depends on whether you want to deal with undoing it. If you want to, and it depends on whether, there's always a reason to undo it because of loss of principal. But most of us don't go into the market expecting a loss of principal. We hope for growth of principal. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always work that way. So most of us are doing conversions based on a tax bracket. Well, unless we know what our taxes are going to look like, if we have a very stable income and we know exactly what we have much room, I'd rather do it early in the year, because then the potential growth that I was talking about we hope for would happen in the Roth IRA. However, if our income is variable and I don't know how much I'm going to be able to convert and I don't want to deal with unconverting it just for tax purposes, then I may wait towards the end of the year until I have a better idea of what my tax situation looks like, so that I don't have to undo it, at least not from a tax situation. And so, depending on where you're at in your income, you can go either early or late.
That could save you a little work, I suppose. Okay, we're out of time. If you do need the Brain Trust, you want to talk to Professor Plum, any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, including the professor, they're there to help you out. Yeah, you can give them a call at the off-air number at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Talk to them about your financial situation. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented,
that the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.